Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bettendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Joining us on the Quad City Bank and Trust AD in the morning show, he's the grabber of greenbacks, a ninja of numbers. He is the Baron of Bettendorf Financial Group. Ladies and gentlemen, Doug Weir.
Good morning. I feel like I did have on my cap shoes this morning. A lot going on, my friend.
Ooh.
A lot going on in the market. Holy cow.
Buddy, it's not been good.
Let's see, Dow Jones down 1329 right now. Sitting at 36,985.
I'd say we're in a little bit of correction territory here, Doug Weir.
Down about 9.5% Friday. We're down about 9.5% year to date. The NASDAQ was down just a shade under 20% year to date. Big percentage, like 19.5%-ish. And that was a big part of that Tesla and the Mag 5, the Mag 7, the Magnificent 7, the stocks that kind of make up the, have been cruising fast. And then you've got the Dow, which I don't pay a lot of credence to, but the Dow's down less than 5 year-to-date, I believe. So, you know, the markets are down for sure, and it's all based upon uncertainty and headline risk. It's not based upon fundamentals. These companies didn't suddenly lose a whole bunch of money. Everybody didn't lose a whole bunch of money from last month to this month. That's not what's happening here. This is all about uncertainty, and it has to do with the trade stuff, right? The trading chain.
Tariff wars. That's what the headlines are right now. Tariff wars.
It makes it sound smooth, Holly. Remember the war of war, you know.
Yeah.
So what we're dealing with is a trillion with a T, $1 trillion trade deficit. $1 trillion. It's hard. We talked about this off air. It's hard to fathom what $1 trillion is. $1 trillion is 1,000 billion. It's hard for me to fathom what a billion is. That's 1,000 million. So, yeah, we're dealing with $1 trillion per year that we're spending overseas versus what's coming to us, and or what we're spending money-wise overseas for what's coming to us. So there's a trade imbalance, and it essentially means we're subsidizing the rest of the world to the tune of about $1 trillion a year.
Yeah. That's, I see why we're looking to make change, especially as a middle class person who I know this is coming out. Basically, the U.S. middle class.
Yes, it's coming out of the middle class.
Funding
wealthy,
all of this.
Not the poor. The middle class are funding the entire $1 trillion that is going overseas. And that is to keep, and this isn't Democrat, this isn't Republican. These are all the deals that we've cut around the world. Many of them are deals that we've cut around the world to get along with our neighbors. The money we've given to Israel, the money we've given to Egypt, the money we're giving to all these countries to keep this trade imbalance so that we're in their good stead and that we can do flyovers, as Patrick likes to say. They like us. We pay them money to like us. And it's Republicans and Democrats. That's why you hear squealing on both sides of the aisle, because it's pinching them. Keep in mind these deals that get cut with these foreign countries many times include kickbacks to the people that cut the deals. There's some kind of juice that comes back to whether it's Lindsey Graham or it's on the other side of the aisle. I'm just picking on him because he's such a hawk on war. I'm just saying that there's $1 trillion, and that's what this is all about, my friend. Scott, I can't think of his last name, for the Treasury Secretary, was talking about it this Sunday again. It's got to change.
So I will say this, or ask this, how far down do we go before it starts to bounce back up? And I mean, my wife and I, actually, I'm going to get a hold of you guys after the show today because we want to see if we can, she gets every other Thursday off. So I would like her to come as well, but we want to come and have a little bit of a sit down with you guys, if we can, a meeting, and kind of go over what we got going on. But also, I think, you know, we're finally getting to a point where, I was talking to her about, I'm like, boy, the way the markets are going down, it might be a decent time to take a little money and try to, you know, do something, start to invest in something. She's like, well, what's Doug Weir say? That's the fail safe at my house. What's Doug Weir say? Cause she knows I talk to you every Monday, but it's like, wow. I mean, some of these guys are down 20, 30%. It feels like you can buy everything on a discount, you know.
Absolutely.
Maybe it's time. And I'm not saying, I'm certainly not giving anyone advice about anything. I'm just trying to explain my own situation the way I see it. I'm like, huh. And then there was this crazy, so I was watching all of them go down. I have been obviously every day. And then there was like this iCore Connect thing last week. It was the only green on the screen. Everything else was red. And it like tripled its price last week. And I was like, what is this company? Or whatever they're doing is working because they're the only thing going up.
Interesting. I don't recognize that. That doesn't ring a bell to me.
It went.
It's not something I.
It was as low as like 30 cents. And then it went up to like $2. And then it just doubled like 2 days in a row. It went up to.
So it's a penny stock. Gotcha. Okay.
Or a starting company or something. I don't know. But it was up to $8, I think, by Friday. Wow. So.
Not familiar with that. I will tell you some good solid value stocks. I can't name names on the program, or not supposed to, as you know, but you know, the one that has general stores around the area that sells you gasoline and pizza, they held steady too. You know, a lot of your value stocks didn't get beat up, and that's why having a balanced portfolio, people that go, I'm going to have 100% growth stocks and I'm 65 years old, that makes no sense. Because last week, growth stocks, and this week, it looks like growth stocks are getting beat up, but some of the value stocks are holding pretty steady.
Yeah, I feel like, and go ahead.
Having a balanced portfolio makes sense, and your wife is correct. There are some bargains out there. I mean, if you like the chip maker at $200 a share, you're going to love it at $100 a share, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what drives me nuts. There's some of these companies that are getting beat up for no apparent reason other than people are scared. This is about being scared. And so if we save we're not going to save the entire $1 trillion. We're not going to be able to cut Canada off. Canada is our biggest subsidy, I believe. I think it's one of our biggest subsidies. We subsidize them the most because they are like our little brother, and we have to give them money to stay afloat because the ratio of debt they have compared to per citizen is obscene. And the amount of, they're in bad shape. So we subsidize them. We're going to have to subsidize Mexico. But as far as subsidizing other countries, some of that gravy train's getting cut off, and that's why you hear all the squealing right now. And as a libertarian, I love this. To me, this is like too little, too late. It's like, let's get it over with. Cut them off. The Marshall Plan is over. World War II is long over. Let's move on.
Absolutely.
But I'm harsh that way. And then... I am. I mean, it's like, cut them off. Enough already. We don't need to subsidize the world. And then you've got what's going on in Washington. And it's not just Elon Musk. I'm so tired of hearing everybody about Musk, Musk, Musk. Yeah, he's part of it, but he's got a whole team of billionaires. I shared with Patrick and anybody who will want I don't know that you'd get that from government employees, my friend. I think you get that from business capitalists, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah,
they're kind of like the outside auditors that come in and are looking at this over and saying something smells rotten in here. Let's fix this.
Yeah.
So if they find $1 trillion there and $3 trillion floating around, if they save $1 trillion, there's another trillion, and we have to do something. We're going through $1 trillion of additional debt every 100 days.
It's crazy.
Let that sink in a minute. Every 100 days, we're going $1 trillion more in debt. We can't do that for very long.
No, you got to head that off at the pass at some point. And it hurts, Doug Weir. People don't like it.
Nope.
I do have a question for you though. So, based on the math, oil's $60 a barrel. So gas is going to go down. So theoretically, in the past, because we use gas or diesel or whatever to haul everything here, there, and everywhere, that should make the prices go back down on some things. They may not actually go down, even though they should. But at least if gas drops, you know, if you can start getting gas for $2 a gallon again, that makes a big difference in folks' budgets. And that there's a little bit of a little light at the end of the tunnel. Okay. And then this is going to push inflation possibly back up again. And then you, and I saw Trump's already trying to put pressure on Powell to lower interest rates. At some point, he's going to have to. Yep. And then you get the interest rate. So then everybody's going to, that's going to make the real estate market explode. Because it's like a giant bubble. Sure. Everybody wants to, like, they're like, I want to buy another house. I want to sell my house, but I can't get out of my loan because it's 3%. I just can't. And now if they could all of a sudden get it again at 4 or 4.5, like, boom, that industry is going to explode. So there's things. There's little things here that will help, and especially if they're forced at lower rates, I think that'll be a big deal. But just gas is a big deal.
Absolutely. And we're starting to see that because we are in energy independent. And I drove back late last night, and everywhere along that corridor of Highway 76 in Colorado is oil, oil, oil. Now it's everywhere. It's even on some of the ranches where you used to see cattle once in a while ranging. Now you see oil wells cropping up everywhere. So we're going to be energy independent again very, very soon because all those oil leases are opening back up because guess who's in charge? He's opening up the leases that were shut down. And if they can open up those leases and we become energy independent, you're exactly right. We'll be able to get gas prices down. And we consider gas being almost like a tax on the citizens. It's a commodity, but, you know, it's not included in cost of living adjustments. It almost feels like a tax on citizens. And you're right. When prices are high, it pinches everybody.
Absolutely. So
that would be great.
Yeah.
And not just gas, fuel. We got to talk fuel, really, because it's diesel.
Yeah.
That's the trucking. You know, we always say gasoline. I catch myself saying that, but it's really the fuel that transports everything.
Right.
So we got to keep that price down. And you're right. That'll help everybody. And this is definitely going to squeeze interest rates. It's going to make Powell said he's not ready to yet, but that cycle will ramp things up, and that's what we'll get. It's going to be short-term pain, long-term gain, folks. It's just hard to see. And I'm not making an apology for who's in charge. I'm just trying to decipher what's going on.
Right.
Because it's a painful experience, but that's what we're doing. We're taking our cash on the sidelines, and we're investing it. In fact, I got a young man reached out to me yesterday, when I say young, he's 20-something, 4 or 5, and that's what we're talking about at 3:30 today. I got cash. What should I buy, Doug? What should I buy? Dad tells me I should call you. That's what it's about.
Now, well, if there's ever been questions or which direction do I go, I'd say now's the time.
Well, it is. It takes some direction. It takes some hand-holding. Trust me, I've had to hold some hands. I've had a busy, busy week. We all have.
I believe it.
In fact, I had a talk to one of my newer reps. She was really struggling because she's just been busy on the phone with people worried about what to do. And so she needed a little coaching to remind her of what the things to say and remind people what their goals were. They're not ready, in her case, not ready to retire tomorrow. They got 20 years to go, so this is a great time to double down and buy more. But it's hard to remember that. I get it. Yeah. It's a numbers business, but it's a very emotional business that we are into. When you're talking about people's money, it's very emotional, and I understand that.
Heck yeah, because they've been working day after day forever. They look forward to things like retirement. You see your 401k dip, and the media is like, we're all going to die. The sky is falling. I mean, it's official chicken little media. And,
remind people of we've been through different things before. This is different. This is very different this time, but we're attacking it from a very strong place, if you think about it. If we had done this during COVID, we couldn't do it. If you'd done this at other times in our history when maybe we were in a recession or something, but we're not in a recession. We're in a very, very strong position. And for us to take this time to go after this, it's now's our time, I guess. We don't have much of a choice.
Yep.
You know who's in charge. And, I mean, love him or hate him, I call him Captain Chaos. He loves chaos, and that's what's going on right now. He's got about 40 plates spinning, and they're all spinning well, and things are changing.
Yep.
So.
Dun, dun, dun. I still haven't watched Chaos. Cannonball Run, but I've had it on my mind.
That's totally why I say it, too, because it just reminds me of that. I mean, if you've read, and I've read the books, and it's all about him, and I read the books, and I get it, so I understood the character. I mean, right now I'm reading J.D. Vance's book, because I want to understand who this guy is.
Right.
And Trump is all about creating a world of chaos so he can get his stuff done. While everyone else is spinning, he's moving the shots, and that's what he's doing right now.
The eye of the tornado, Doug Weir.
The eye of the tornado, great way to put it. That's, yep. He loves to be in the middle of it.
Oh yeah,
it would give me ulcers, but that's what he likes.
I'm with you, buddy. I couldn't handle it, but no. As always, sir, great stuff. We sure appreciate your time and information, and I'm glad you guys got eyes on things. I'm going to get a hold of you. We'll see if we can't set something up.
That sounds great. I look forward to seeing you guys. And anybody else needs help, give us a call. And if your advisor isn't returning your calls, give us a call.
Get a new advisor. That's happening right now. Go to Bentendorf Financial. That's right. All right, Doug. Well, have a great week, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye. There he goes, Doug Weir.
Discussions on the show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Registered representative. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investments Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Bentendorf Financial Group and Cambridge are not affiliated.